Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm going to answer some chat questions, as I tend to do on a Friday, but I'm also going to just talk honestly about what's happening. So I've just seen an article from my friend Yuan, who has written in The Spectator, to point out that the Chagos Islands deal is awful, which is true. And I appeared yesterday on Talk TV to make the same point. We are giving away sovereign territory, our land, and then we're paying the people who are getting the land to take it. That is mad. That is completely insane. We're doing this against the wishes of the people who live there. And I've just sent a tweet, and you never know with a tweet whether it'll simply fall to the ground and not get noticed, or whether it'll whoosh up into the biggest storm in the world. But I've just sent a tweet because we really do need to start talking about the word treason. Now, treason is a word I particularly hate. The minute that you say it, people start pointing at you and calling you an extremist. It's not one of those places I ever wanted to go. But we're going to need a definition, because every human society that wants to function well has to have a definition of treason. And if it's not giving away sovereign territory for no reason and loads of our money for no reason, then I'm struggling to discover what else the definition could be. So ever since Tony Blair, the treason has become terribly unfashionable. It's been looked down on. Those who follow me on our constitution know that my theory is that we live inside a great big Victorian house, and that the thing you're not paying attention to is the thing that will break next. If you've just reinstalled a brand new kitchen, then you can bet your bottom dollar it'll be the downstairs bathroom that starts leaking, because that was the thing you weren't paying attention to. And we certainly haven't been paying attention to treason. It's been déclassé to mention it in any sense. It's, the great and the good of our society will no doubt suggest that I'm being hysterical merely for even mentioning the possibility of the very idea, which is, I think, ridiculous, but also indicative of the fact that we're not paying attention to it. The other major scandal this week is the ongoing rape gang crisis. It's ridiculous to my mind that the government has a great plan to do nothing. We're getting stories that this is all happening right now. It might be happening literally right now. That's appalling. That's not the country I want to live in. I don't think that's the country any of us want to live in. I hate the way that this is dressed up in some sort of racial politics. It's completely nonsense. Every single human being has the capacity to be a monster or to be a decent human being. Every single human being who is a decent human being wants to protect little girls. That's it. There's no, I really don't see the complexity. I don't see the DEI issue. I don't see the sociologist claptrap. Life is sometimes that simple, and we simply must protect our little girls, and regardless of anything else, nothing else matters more than their safety. And it's absolutely disgraceful that the government has done nothing. Many of you in your comments are absolutely horrified, and I read them all. I want you all to know I see them all. I am equally horrified. This government is an absolute disgrace. I did a piece earlier in the week. It's behind a paywall. I do need paid subscribers, and I'm very grateful for those who are paying up and subscribing. It's not the largest amount of money in the world. It is, although you might not believe it if you're from a better place, but it is about the price of a pint in London nowadays. So please do consider getting a paid subscription. It supports the channel, and it's going to allow me to do more. But the fact that the government is doing nothing on these rape gangs is absolutely, absolutely outrageous. The only plan is apparently to attack Elon for pointing them out. This is ridiculous. But this is how we have been governed for quite some time now. We have had many problems. And rather than deal with the problems, it has been easier to attack the people who notice the problem, thus effectively bullying everybody into silence, because people don't like being attacked. They don't like being piled on. I've had it happen to me. It's deeply unpleasant. But at the end of the day, I carry on, because truth is more important than being popular. And for me in particular, many of you know I have a small child, and I simply want the world to be better for my small child. But there we are. Right. I'm just going to flag up some really lovely comments. We had one from Hillary this week. It's about the, so I did a piece on the rape gangs with Andrew Eborn, and it's Stephen and Andrew. What great addition this was. I've turned myself into a student of yours in my own home. I've got a notebook and dividers, and I'm jotting away for the benefit of little old me. This is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. This is everything I wanted. I couldn't resist it. Many super points raised. The difference between civil liability and criminal liability helped me to understand the Tommy Robinson situation, for example. Yes. See, I have to get these out. I have to keep remembering to explain things, so that you will all understand them and you will get a good grip of everything, because I simply don't trust the so-called experts to look after all of us anymore. And the more we know, the better armed we're going to be in the coming struggles. And it does look as though there are coming struggles. I'm very sad to report, although I understand the BBC is not reporting, that the economy is in free fall and in a terrible position because of the choices that the Chancellor has made. Absolutely ridiculous, absolutely pathetic for Labour to try and get out of this. They have caused a major economic crisis, and that's going to hurt everybody. It's going to hurt me. My mortgage payments will no doubt go up. The cost of goods will go up. We're all going to be in a far worse place. So as we move forward, the more knowledge I think I can give you, the better off you'll be. And it's very tricky for me. Sometimes it only occurred to me on the day that I might need to point out the difference between criminal and civil liability. Now, that shows you just how far I've gone along this path. I am in an ivory tower. I've been around academics for so long. I don't know what people don't know, and that's not always useful. I need to get a better grip on that so that I can help you all more. That's the whole point. So please do make comments. Please do point out things in the chat. The chat's always where I go. It's like a big list of notes. I find it quite helpful for sort of leaving it for a day and then coming and having a look at it and seeing what everybody's saying. It's probably one of the best ways to contact me directly. I still haven't really worked out the messaging service. So I actually think chat is better than the messaging service for messaging me, because I can actually use that one. I have said before, I am pretty technologically incompetent, but I am gradually getting a grip on Substack. So thank you for Hillary for pointing out that the difference between civil and criminal liability mattered. Then she goes on to talk about the rape gangs. And I pointed out that we're going to really have to consider negligence. There's a lot of misdirection. Mr. Starmer at PMQ suggested that an inquiry would take 7 years. Goodness knows why he's got that number. That's just a random number. And of course it doesn't have to. You can set up an inquiry that takes 4 months if you want to, or 4 weeks if you want to. It's about the amount of money and effort that you put into the thing and how strict you are on the rules. I don't want a large inquiry into whether or not rape gangs happened, because they clearly did and probably still are. I want an inquiry into every social worker who failed, every police officer who failed, every council leader who failed, every councillor who failed, so that we can start sacking them, getting rid of them and punishing them and get compensations for the victims. That's what I think ought to be happening next with the rape gangs. Hillary says, rightly, Stephen, you highlight the great injustice for Muslim Pakistani families who are dragged into this mire, exactly, by association, just because of who they are. I know, it's really awful. It's absolutely awful. It's just, it's not fair on decent people. And the idea that all Muslims defend this is just tosh. It's absolute tosh. I won't have it. And I'm not playing their silly little game. Note how racist they are, by the way, these alleged anti-racists. It's absolutely ridiculous. But yes, thank you for flagging that, Hillary. It mattered to me. Obviously, it doesn't matter as much as the little girls. That they are the priority. I think we just need to start ordering our priorities. And the other point I like to make is that little Sikh girls were also targeted. And we need that point, I think, to get out more. I think the bad people in our society are trying to set this up as one group against another. And I think the more that we can stop that, the better off we'll all be. But above all, we must stop these rape gangs. That's it. It's not rocket science. Just get it done. Samantha, I have a question, please. I'm almost apoplectic just reading on X that Starmer has whipped all MPs. I know he did. The 7-year CSE inquiry, that's child sexual exploitation. I do like to not use letters if I can avoid it, because I think we just need to all know what we're talking about. Barely covered it. Only visiting one of the affected cities. Yeah, I know. They're trying to pretend the J inquiry is the be-all and end-all, and it's just tosh. Go away. It's got like one page on Rotherham. My question is, how do we galvanise the nation to petition for recalls? Well, so I think this is a very interesting one. So the power to recall a politician was created by MPs recently. And it doesn't arise in these circumstances unless the MP has been convicted of a certain offence or disciplined by the authorities in the House of Commons. So you can't just recall every MP. But if you'll remember, and if you listen to me on the Constitution, the right to petition the king is a far, far older right, almost as old as Magna Carta, older than the Bill of Rights, although it's enshrined again in the Bill of Rights. So I do think that there is a general right to petition. I don't think it's a legal right. As in, I don't think when you get to a certain number, which is what the legal power is in the Act, that has three conditions to trigger, none of which I think apply right now to any MPs. But it's a display of political will and political strength. And this is what I keep trying to get across in my articles and in my pieces. The more agitated you are, the more political will and strength of opinion you can demonstrate. And the clearer you can make that to everyone and to as many people as concerned, the more you will affect change. That's going to be much more effective than trying to bring some sort of court case. So I have sympathy. I'm sorry the technical recall petition is not triggered, but I would still gather together and get petitions. I think petitions locally will have a deep impact. I have worked very closely with MPs and I've seen behind the curtain, if you like. And I can tell you that if they get a post on Facebook, on a local Facebook group, and it starts getting traction, they are terrified. Okay, this is the best thing about democracy. It's one of the reasons I am a Democrat. In democracy, the rulers fear the people, and that's how it should be. So if you can get people together and get local petitions, people who actually live in the constituency, and send them to the MP, that, believe me, that will be like an earthquake. And you don't even need many. You know, 10 is enough to get the attention of an MP. 100 is enough to give them a heart attack and have them probably pass out for a week. They are very, very fragile. And particularly at the moment, given that so many of them, particularly the red ones, but across the broad, they have such shallow majorities now. They really know that 80% of us effectively didn't endorse them. And they know that a huge percentage of us sat on our hands and can come out again next time. And that the entire election results can be utterly overturned. My sitting MP had her total vote is the size of the other party's majority that they used to have here. So the idea she can't be blown out of the water is ridiculous. She's got no votes. She's basically as vulnerable as they come. And when they're vulnerable like this, they are much more open to persuasion and much more good for you to contact and use. So the technical recall petition does not work. But don't let that stop you or demotivate you or take away any of your energy if you want to petition your MP and try and affect change. I would still do it. I do wonder sometimes if wrapping all this stuff up in law isn't there to sort of mildly demotivate you from taking political action. So here I am as a lone voice for now, but urging you always to take political action and make your political voice heard. It is the best way that you can affect change in our society. And then I just wanted to flag up, because I don't want to go on for too long on these, but Anthony sent a lovely message. And that's another point. I do want to point out that we are like the nicest people in the world on this Substack. I have the most charming conversation. I try to reply whenever I can. And if you want to leave questions and comments, please do. And I will always try and reply because we're just lovely. There's no, why not? Let's all pat ourselves on the back, because that's how I want us to be. We're basically an academic community. And there is no such thing as a stupid question, no such thing as a silly question. There will never be a rude reply on my Substack from me. You will never see me belittle or be rude to anyone ever. I mean, I hardly ever do it in life at all, unless, you know, pushed to the nth degree. And I certainly won't ever be pushed to that degree on Substack because you're all just far too lovely. So, Anthony, I just wanted to express how much I appreciate your Substack. It's incredibly enlightening and your positive attitude is truly infectious. Good! You have a knack of turning negatives into constructive discussions, which is especially important in fields like law, where every word and context matters significantly. Thank you. Been immersed in the study of patent law. Oh, gosh, that's complicated. I attest to its complexity. It's quite the minefield. Yes. Thank you for your inspiring work. And I look forward to more of your thought-provoking words. Just kindness. Just niceness. Absolute loveliness. I'm going to start because I want to do more content for paid subscribers because I'm really grateful for paid subscribers. And I'm conscious that I don't think paid subscribers get enough. So I'm probably going to start a second podcast teaching an area of law. I'd really welcome people's views. The tradition when you start teaching law is that you start teaching crime. And let's face it, crime is pretty popular. So maybe criminal law might be what you all want to hear. If you pay attention to me at all, you'll know full well I hate criminal law. So I mildly loathe that. There are lots of other types of law I could teach you. I could teach contract. I could teach tort, which is the civil wrongs I talked about. Those civil liabilities. There's a whole bunch of them. In universities now, we only really teach undergraduates one of them, and I'll teach you more when we get around to talk. So you'll probably be better educated than lots of university graduates. I could teach administrative or public law. I could teach all sorts of areas of law. I'm interested in what people are interested in and what people want. So I'll probably do that because I think that's quite a nice one. I'm going to do the podcast on the Constitution tomorrow. And I'm not going to paywall that yet, but I am going to eventually. There's going to be more content for paid subscribers because they are just so important. And I'm going to carry on writing pieces and making arguments. I might write on the Chagos plan, but I think I've been absolutely clear on that. And go and you read Yuan's piece in The Spectator, but it's so obvious. There are lovely quotes, like there are things that are so stupid that only intelligent people can believe them. And that's basically what the Chagos Islands is. It's so obviously stupid. I mean, it's just so, my granny would know without a question that she left school without O-levels, you know, and she was always terribly worried that she didn't have a formal education and always terribly impressed by people who did have formal education. But she's got bloody common sense. My granny would know. It's like, no, you do not give away strategically important islands and vast amounts of money to people who don't even like us. Mauritius are not our friends. They don't like us. This is absolutely insane. They don't like the Chagos people either. The poor Chagosians are not being listened to. So yes, I might write more this weekend. I'm trying to get content out pretty much every day. This has been a majority. Last week was majority paid content. This has been majority free content. And I might keep up that rhythm. So next week will be majority paid content. I do need to encourage people to subscribe, please do it. You really are helping me out. Thank you very much, and let's all go and have a lovely weekend.